This is a story about how I got a nudge into more traditional Jewish observance. It takes place on a beautiful Saturday in Baltimore, May 23rd, 1987. My girlfriend at the time, we married later that year, Cheryl and I are at a herb festival in Leakin Park, and I'm pulling a little wagon with about six flats of herbs that we've bought, and we've had little to eat, maybe a little to drink, and we're kind of heading back through the second part of the festival, and the wind comes up, the sun's covered by a cloud, you start to hear thunder, and we take shelter in the only building with a roof that is open, which is this dilapidated little country wooden church that the people who had the estate before it was Leakin Park had built, and the city had not taken great care of it. The herb festival was actually to raise money to renovate the church. So about 80 people have the same idea. We can't get back to our car. We're either going to get soaking wet or we're going to get in this building. And we all cram in, and we're sitting there. And the lightning is like a flash, and then within a second, the thunder is pealing. And Cheryl turns to me to say to me, "Boy, I'm really glad I'm not scared of lightning." And she says, "And then you body went rigid, your hair stood on end, your eyes popped out, your mouth hung open." And Cheryl thought to herself, "This is how people look when they die." For my part, I felt like I'd been shoved down into the ground about 30 feet. And I was suffocating, and at the same time I was like in the bottom of a swimming pool, and I was trying to float to the surface, and I was running out of air, and I kept floating up and floating, and I got through in this gasp of air, and I crash over on the pew, and I hear Cheryl saying, "Steve, Steve, you've been struck by lightning." And as calmly as I could, I said to her, "Get me away from the fuck, I'm sorry, from the window." I couldn't move my body. I had no feeling on my left side. I had no feeling below my chest. I had my right arm and my neck and head, and that's all that I knew. And the next thing that we know, we smell the smell. It's a wooden church. It got struck by lightning. It's on fire. And everybody's running out of the church. Fortunately, Cheryl keeps her head in a crisis, and she grabs two strong young men and says, "Get him out of the church." And they say, "Well, he might have a broken back or something." She says, "Get him out of the church." And she's forceful. She prevails. They take me out of the church. Across the driveway, the caretaker had opened up the little caretaker's cottage, and about six of us are lying on the floor in the cottage. It's Baltimore. There's a doctor there. The doctor's doing triage. The good news is I'm at the top of the triage list. The ambulances start arriving. They're bringing EMTs from all over. They put me on a stretcher. They put me in the back of the ambulance. And then Cheryl gets in. She got a little side strike. She's limping a little bit from the lightning, too. And there's this comedy of errors to get us to shock trauma. I mean, I'm top of the triage list, I get the best shock trauma. And the high point of this comedy of errors is when the ambulance driver gets lost. They can't get from Leakin Park to shock trauma. And I, who knew the way, am lying there paralyzed in the back with an oxygen mask over my face, and I rip the mask off and I start to direct the ambulance driver. So eventually the ambulance driver finds North Avenue, and we get to shock trauma. They cut my clothes off. I'm expecting medical miracles. They start an IV, and they do a lot of muttering, and they come back to me, and they say, "You know, nobody really knows much about lightning strikes, except that no two of them are alike. We're going to force fluids, and we're going to put you in a bed upstairs and see what happens. We're optimistic that you will get some use of your limbs back. We don't know when, and we don't know how much." Now, this was actually good news, because this means I'm alive, and I'm going to stay alive. I finally get to a bed in the floor. the nursing floor around 9 o'clock at night, and I'm incredibly hungry and incredibly thirsty. They've told me I can have food and drink once I'm on the floor. And the nurses say, well, the kitchen's closed. And testimonial, the nurses at Shock Trauma are the hardest working group of people I have ever known in my life. They say, we'll do some begging. And they do. Around 11 o'clock that night, a brown bag arrives, and in that brown bag is a half pint carton of milk, one slice of bologna between two slices of dry bread, and a mealy apple. Now, I can't open the milk carton because I only have one hand that works. So the nurse opens the milk carton for me, and I pour it down my throat. And it's like a $300 bottle of wine. I mean, the notes of citrus and black cherry and pomegranate, the long, silky, complex structure, the way it lingers on my palate, the finish, it's just magnificent. And every morsel that I ate, and I ate every morsel, is just tastes like life itself. And that's where I end my story. Because the lesson I took from this experience was not that Jewish boys should stay out of churches on Shabbat afternoon when they've been shopping. It was that it wasn't the meal, it was what I brought to the meal that had kind of been missing in my life. And I start to ask this question, where have I been all my life? And when I ask that question, and I'm kind of casting around reading stuff, I find these old guys, it's mostly guys, who made up all these rules and told all these stories and wrote the Talmud, and they're working on the same problem. People back then are poor. I mean, life is hard. How are people really present in their life? And their key strategy is you're going to have this one day a week when your only job is to really be there, really be present. And this made a lot of sense to me. And the rules are to protect that. And the rules can seem crazy, but it came to seem to me that the rules were a small price for the encounter. And so I found myself, strangely enough, in my 40s, making contact with the tradition of my ancestors, and it just came to seem entirely sensible and entirely right. The more Shabbat I took, the more Shabbat I got. The more Shabbat I got, the happier I was. And so I went. Thank you.